news is that alive, that I might see.
Thank you, brother.
And the light that shines in the darkness now will save me.
Sunk on the bottom, Billy.
Yeah, boy.
Amen. Shipwrecked.
Yeah, shipwrecked.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, okay, never mind.
What do you want to search for?
Heaven.
Amen. Thanks, brother. He's always thankful he's in heaven.
Yeah, she comes on mine all the time and asks me dumb questions.
Amen.
Good job.
Yes, it is
a good job.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She's got a habit coming on her at night and telling me it's my bedtime. Last night I was talking to ladies over in Ohio County, she come out and says, 8:45, it's time for bed.
Hey, ma'am.
Yeah, right.
That's terrible.
You ain't my mom.
Bless the Lord.
Because we do.
Amen.
What food is best for weight loss? Well, I finally regained control of my health. The food that helped.
That's why I don't have a smartphone.
I got one, but I don't use it that much.
I got one, but it's a whole lot smarter than me.
All right. I'm telling you, I don't have a whole lot of luck with smartphones. And really, I got no business ones. I ain't smart enough to operate one. But they do have advantages. They got like GPS to help you find where you're going. And you can look things up and get information and stuff like that.
That's but, right.
I'm like Brother Ed, I don't like a phone telling me when it's my bedtime, but I guess if I had one, I guess it'd probably say it was my bedtime. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about everybody else, but I've had kind of a toss to and fro kind of week. I'm usually pretty instant. Things like prayer and study and stuff like that, but I've been through it this week. I've had to force myself to pray and studying. That's unusual for me, but I've had just a rough and tough week. I still prayed, still studied, but usually I'm kind of like being instant in season, out of season. Usually I'm right in there. But it's been a tough week. I don't know how your week went, but I just want to say I really enjoyed last Sunday. I enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the food, enjoyed the singing, enjoyed everything about it.
Yeah, Lord.
And I guess it was payback. I don't know. I've had a rough week. Like I said, I don't know if you've had one, but I did. We'll be reading today out of 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you want to be opening up your good old King James Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now, I knew the direction I was going in, but in my devotions this week, as I read this scripture, it came back to my mind early this morning, and I'm going to be preaching for quite a while on standard. This message here just kind of points in that direction. It doesn't say anything about standard, but I'm concerned about standard slipping. And we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable,
that's right,
always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be focusing on standard. I know the world is changing. We got a politician, got elected president on one word. He said, I don't know about you, but I'm about ready for change. And I can tell by my pocket here, he must have got through. I've got more change in my pocket right now. Then he's accomplished.
That's right.
But he did change some things that I wished he hadn't changed.
That's right.
Done some things I'm not proud of or happy about or nothing else. And that's still going on. But reason I'm kind of directed in the direction of standard, a lot of things are changing for the worse.
That's right.
They're changing so fast you can't keep up with them. And let the world have their problems, but I don't like to see them kind of problems come into the church.
No.
So I'm going to be preaching probably a pretty good while on standard, but I want to read these scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 22, starting in verse number 22. Like I said, I read this week in my devotions, and it came to my remembrance early this morning. And David here, he's actually singing a song. And in this song, he's singing about God's deliverance, how God had delivered him out of all his problems and all the predicaments that he got in. And we'll start our reading verse number 22. And I'll probably stop at verse 31. He said, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness
in his eyesight. This could be what I could call my text verse here. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. And I do believe we need to conduct ourselves before God in a way that's pleasing unto Him. I can't imagine God putting up with all He puts up with me as it is already.
Yeah.
But I do want to conduct myself in a Christian manner. And I do want to walk before Him in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
And God being a fair God and a merciful God, He says, with the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the forward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people, thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down.
Yeah.
For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. We'll stop our reading right there, and I'm going to go to God in prayer. Father, we want to apologize, Lord, for how little we've, Lord, prayed and studied and done this week, Lord. And Lord, we know that necessity is upon us. We know that we cannot neglect, Father, the duty that we have to Thee. Lord, I don't never want to be guilty of putting things in front of You or letting things take the place of time that I have appointed for prayer and for study. And now, Lord, You know my heart. You know, Lord, that it just seemed like I just couldn't get zeroed in. I pray You'll forgive me. Pray You'll compensate, Lord, for my negligence. Pray You'll anoint me right now afresh. Lord, I have a desire to deliver Your message today. I need Your help. Oh, Lord, I certainly want to deliver Thy message, Lord, today to Your people. Want to feed Your sheep. Want to feed Your lambs. Want to be a blessing. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, You'll help us today.
Yes,
and we'll give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name we'll ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Someone said that a sin will keep you from the Bible.
Yeah.
Or the Bible will keep you from sin.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm preaching about today. I'm preaching today on keeping ourselves from sin. God warned a man about sin early in the Bible, and He told Cain, sin lieth at the door in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And that tells me that sin wants in. It wants in your house.
Yeah.
It wants in my house.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says not to make make no provision. There you go. Thank You, Lord. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, we have a fleshly body to deal with, and we got a spiritual body to deal with. Somebody said, which one prevails? It's the one you feed the most.
Amen.
Somebody said, an Indian had two dogs, a white dog and a black dog. I guess he was racist. I don't know. But someone asked him, which dog would whoop the other? And he said, the one I feed the most.
Right.
And that's true in our own lives. And you know, we don't need to set any wicked thing before us, and yet it lies at the door.
Amen.
It wants in, and we're not better off by giving place to it. The Bible tells us to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. It says not to give any place to him.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, I found out there are times, I'm like one preacher, preached honestly. He said, I'll tell you, I'm kind of like Paul, what he said. He said, the thing I would not, I do. And the thing I would, I do not. And he said, I find a law in me. And it's that law of sin. And
that
sin wants me. I saw men devoured by sin.
Yes, Lord.
I saw families dissolve because of sin. I've done funerals. That was a byproduct of sin. Matter of fact, James says sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death.
Yes,
he said, do not err, my beloved brother. It's a mistake on our part when we give place to sin. I don't know about y'all, but I have to fight every week.
Right.
Not every day. Paul's talked about dying daily. He said, I've got to die for Paul's sake, to live for Christ's sake.
Yes, that's right.
Someone said, Lord's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all.
Right.
You can't serve two masters. You love the one, you'll hate the Lord, the other. And I don't know about y'all, but I find out there is a devil down here.
Right.
He does want to sift you like wheat. He does want to turn your life upside down and leave you broken on the way, on the roadside there. But sin wants in. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Solomon, the wisest man in the earth, said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. I saw a lot of scars that were due to sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned last Sunday about that lady had her hands all scarred up. But it wasn't because of sin. But I have seen a lot of people that were scarred up that wish they'd never done or allowed what they allowed because the consequences were severe. I'm not going to name any, but you know sin, it wants to leave a mark on it. Sin wants to leave you wounded. Sin wants to leave you somewhat less than what you could be. And you know what? It's not optional. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're in a war. There's no discharge from it. And you're either going to be a blessing or you're going to be a burden to the heart of God. And let me say, I want to go on record that He is worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. I don't know. We can't set the standard as high as it should be.
Right.
I think it should be the highest
that
we can say.
Amen.
For His praise and for His glory. Let the church of the redeemed, I'm telling you, let them be a blessing.
Thank you.
Sin works its way in the church.
It will.
Yes, it does. I've seen it. It causes problems.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, if the standard's right, you don't have to worry about sin.
Right. God help.
It's when you let the guard down.
That's right.
Oh, let me name a few sins here.
Come on, brother.
Innocent sins.
Right.
Saw that easy.
Right.
Innocent sins, Sarah.
Yeah.
First time I read my Bible through, I realized I was a bigger sinner.
Yeah.
Amen. Than I thought it was. I mean, I knew it was a sinner, fellas.
Yeah.
I knew it was sin.
Right.
I didn't know it until God made it known to me.
Yeah.
I mean, God had to show me I was a sinner. It didn't take him long. It wasn't a hard thing, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had to work at it, but he did put his finger on the problem, and I was a sinner.
That's right.
I understood I was a sinner.
Yes.
That first year I made it up in my mind, or set my heart, I was going to read my Bible through before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I said, well, I got saved April 27th, 1988. So we're talking 33 years ago.
Right.
Got birthday coming up this month.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, 33 years ago, I was 34 years old. Because next year, if the good Lord be willing, I like to balance the books. Amen. But anyway, I said I was going to read my Bible through for the end of the year, and I was able to accomplish that. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I do remember this as I read God's Word.
Oh, goodness.
As it convicted me and convinced me of just how big a sinner I was. I spent most of that year on my knees saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But those innocent sins, some of them, I didn't even know about. I had no knowledge of them. I'm just telling you, I was, some of them I was
innocent until I found out in the Word of God that I was guilty.
That's right.
Paul mentioned about teaching us. That ain't the one I'm looking for. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, he said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." That was me.
Yes.
I didn't know. I didn't know some of the things God said do not. I didn't know some of the things God said to do. I didn't have that knowledge.
No.
But I do now. So now, the Bible said, "Him that knoweth to do good, doeth not; him that sins." So I know now to do good. But those innocent sins, they were made known to me. And I realized just how exceedingly sinful that I was. But before I read that Bible through, I didn't know the degree of my sins.
Right.
And a lot of people, they shun church and they shun the Bible because they don't want to know about sin.
Right.
In St. John chapter 3, verse 19, he said, "Herein is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil.
Yeah.
Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved." I just want you to know, a lot of people, they don't want to know about sin, the consequences of sin. They just want to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I wish Brother James was here, because he'd amen that right now. I'll tell you what, Brother James, he was his way. Until I get amen out of him, I mean the heart.
That's right.
Preachers pay big money to have something like that. Amen. I appreciate Brother James. He got a new button on there now. Hallelujah. I'm going to get back up with it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, he does.
But sin, the Bible said that it might appear sin. They changed the names of sin now so it won't appear so sinful.
Right. Some of us need a new button.
Instead of calling it abomination, they call it being gay now.
Right.
Instead of calling it adultery, they call it having an affair.
Right.
Instead of lying, they say a little white lie. I mean, just anything to call it what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
And what they call it, a drunkard now, he's just got a problem.
That's right.
But I mean, he'll call it what it is. If God,
right,
His Word, Brother Mitchell, calls it what it is.
That's right.
It wasn't like I had to have an interpreter.
No.
The whole world will become guilty before God.
Amen.
If the world will let the Word of God come before their eyes and spend some time in it, they won't have to read too far to realize they're in trouble and they need to do something with this Jesus, which is called Christ.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing. I might have a real week, but I'm having a good time right now.
Amen.
Bless
the Lord. I've got about a 30-minute message. I feel like it's going to be a 2-hour one. I'm going to cut some ends off. Amen.
Amen.
But innocent sin, the world doesn't want the knowledge of God. They don't want nothing to do with God. And me and Brother Donnie, we was listening yesterday. This black preacher, he done graduated this life. But he's talking about in that message he preached that day. He said they don't want to. Let's see, they didn't want to live for Him, but they can't live without Him, or something like that. And how true that is, because in Him we live and move and have our being. They don't want nothing to do with Him.
Yeah.
They've got so much to do with Him, they don't even realize that next breath He gave it.
Yeah.
That next heartbeat He allowed it.
Right.
Hey, I'm just telling you, you can't go too far without Him. Amen.
Amen.
What a Savior. Glory to God.
Yes, He is. Thank you, Lord.
But they want to shun church, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
You know, this place could be filled.
Yes, right.
It was filled last Sunday.
Yes, it was.
But I'd like to see it filled with people wanting to know more about the Lord. Amen.
That's right.
And
amen.
You know what? There's all kind of Bibles, but most people, they don't know enough Bible, blow their nose. But you know what? There's a lot of good news in there.
Right.
There's a man had a conversation with an agnostic, Sister Joanne. An agnostic was giving him a hard way to go. He said, "There ain't nobody can understand the Bible." He said, "Well, I understand it." He said, "No, you don't. Nobody can understand the Bible." He said, "Well, I do."
Yeah, that's right.
He said, "What do you mean you do?"
Amen.
Here's what he told him, Sybil. He said, "I've read it." And he said, "We win."
Amen.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm on the winning side.
Amen. I may not know about all the jots and the tittles, but I know enough to know I'm on the winning side, Lord.
Thank you.
Bless
him,
Lord.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, you can't understand the Bible. He said, yeah, I do. He said, we win. Hallelujah. Paul said, I've not known sin but by the law. The Word of God is a revealer. And it'll reveal to you whether you're right with God or whether you need to get right with God. Amen. I mean, the same Bible that convicted me now blesses me on one side, down the other. I have to admit, I am a fanatic. I do get excited. I'm glad it's real. But there was a time when I tried to hide from the very thing that I love now. There was a time, but I snuck around. I wanted to make sure nobody caught me. Now, praise God, I'm looking for others. I want them to know what I know with me. Woo! There's a blessing in him.
Right.
Amen, Brother Ed. Innocent sins. You know, I wish they were all innocent sins.
Yeah, right.
This next one's called presumptuous sins. I asked my wife after I fixed her breakfast this morning and a cup of coffee and a glass of tea. I said, what do you think presumptuous means? And I can't really remember exactly what she said. But she said, won't you look it up? I said, I did look it up. I wanted to get your input. That is kind of a weird word.
Yeah, amen.
But presumptuous means kind of bold, kind of forward, kind of rebellious, kind of in denial, that you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. That's kind of the direction of presumption.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, the Bible says, let God be true, and every man be a liar. But a presumptuous person doesn't want to give God any regard or any recognition for anything. He just wants to be his own God. That presumptuous sin, they're the worst kind, amen.
Amen.
Because someone that's presumptuous, oh my, they're not worried. They don't really care. They're not concerned about consequences. They try to make exceptions for sin, to change laws, you know, voting, making alcohol legal, make marijuana legal, make it easier where you can get a divorce, whatever. Hey, listen, the Bible says this about divorce. God hates putting away. I know what happens.
Yeah.
But God don't like it.
No, right.
Me and my wife, somehow, I don't know how, she didn't kill me yet. We've been married 45 years.
Yeah.
She put up a lot, I put up with a little. But we made it. Listen, it's worth it.
That's right.
I wish I could go back through it again, Carolyn, because I do a better job this time.
Uh-huh.
We learned everything. We learned the hard way. But I'll tell you, the first not good mentioned in the Bible, it said it's not good for a man to be alone.
Right.
God made that great truth known.
Yes, he did.
Man had done something about it, Brother Ed.
Yes.
He went down and made that man a helpmate. And he said, between her and me, we'll somehow get him along. Amen. I mean, God help the man that's alone when he falleth, that has not another to help him up.
Yeah.
And listen, two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Right.
Get married.
Right.
Get the Lord in your life. And enjoy the praise that God has given you. Amen.
Yes.
Right.
I'm all for marriage.
Oh, amen.
I done a marriage one time. A guy I worked with out there, Donnie's going to be Brother Eric. He said, I heard you's a preacher. I said, well, some people say I am. He said, good, I want to get married. Will you do my wedding? And I'm sitting there thinking, didn't see that coming. I told him this. I wasn't trying to get out of it. I told him this. I said, I want to counsel you before I agree to marry you.
Because
I want you to understand what a marriage is. I wept through that whole counsel. I cried.
Yeah.
It was tender. It was real.
Yes.
I was honest. I was trying to help them understand how beautiful a marriage is when it's right.
That's right. That's right.
And when I done their wedding, they poor and she's got a dress from somebody that's hanging off her, and I cried through the whole wedding. I couldn't hardly do the vows of the wedding for crying. And he worked at Walmart, and I don't know if she worked or not, but they're still married. But, I just didn't see that coming. He come and said, you're a preacher. I thought he was going to say, where are you going to church at? He said, "Will you marry me and my girlfriend?" And I did, Mitchell. Amen. And it was a blessing. It really was. Amen. And I think I gave them money when I done their wedding. They were really poor. And you know, I thank God for that. I learned a lot from that. I learned how devoted they were to each other, and I learned how hard they wanted to do right and be married and have a good marriage and everything. It was a blessing counseling them. It was a blessing to do their marriage. And as far as I know, they're still married. Amen.
Amen.
I would have given their names. I just didn't know it would be fair to do that. But anyway, they changed the names of things to somehow take away, I guess, what it really is. Like I said, instead of being homosexual or abomination, they call it gay now. Right. That don't really change nothing. It makes it a little bit more acceptable down here, and they're pushing that thing. I see where we're heading in that direction, but I don't like it. But and also I've noticed this, that they found out that through leadership, they can kind of push this thing any direction they want it to go. I think that's the reason that the election was stolen last year, and I'm going to stand on that to my last breath. But I do believe they assert the will of the people, and I do believe they put who they wanted in the Oval Office.
You're right.
And the effect of that is kind of a ripple effect. It's affecting me. It's affecting you. That's and right. It's affecting others in a positive way, because now they're getting their way. But it ain't going to change a thing. They're still going to stand before God give an account. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, they're probably going to regret all that they've done to alter the results of the election last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, when I say that, I'm not trying to get political here. But we had a president that actually loved this country. He was actually trying to help this country.
That's right.
And he was balancing the books. He was setting some wrongs right. He was getting his ducks in a line. Are we getting interference now, Brother Ed?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, they don't like that, but it needs to be told anyway. I'll tell you, I'm a little concerned about the things that are changing in the very country that I love and grew up in, and now I'm 67 years old.
Amen.
But something very sinister happened November 3rd, 2020.
Amen.
I heard that the truth of it's going to be told, and I hope it does.
Yeah.
And let the truth fall where it falls.
That's right.
I don't mind being wrong if I'm wrong.
That's right.
I don't want to be told I'm wrong when I'm not wrong. I'm pretty sure something happened.
Amen.
All right, I'll get off of that. They're changing things, and the effect of that, well, let me read it. Here's what to do when you change things. God says it much better than I can. Jeremiah chapter 6, if you want to read it with me.
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 6, God doing the speaking here, starting in verse 14. God says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace." In other words, they're saying it's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You don't worry. He said, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. Were they at all ashamed? Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, wherein is a good way, and walk therein. But ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." I just want you to know there's a problem.
Amen.
When it comes to presumptuous, they don't want God's way.
Right.
They don't want God's will. They want God to leave them alone. And I just got news for them. They've got an appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it's appointed unto man once to die,
And
after that, the judgment. Can you imagine Brother Ed and Nancy Pelosi standing before God?
That's right.
I've never seen no one quite as determined as she is to wrong right and promote wickedness. I don't understand the woman. I don't know what she stands for. It don't make no sense. If you do, if it makes any sense, I'd like to know. I can't understand her being allowed to exist in the position she's in. She should have been thrown out a long time ago.
Amen.
Presumptuous sins. If you're presumptuous about sin, you're unconcerned.
That's right.
Well, listen, sin will devour you like a great white shark. It'll tear you in pieces like a lion. I want you to know there ain't nothing funny about sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. I used to be one of them.
Right.
And you got secret sins. That's that one that I don't want Donnie to know about. That's that one he don't want me to find out about.
Yeah, right.
That's that one you make sure nobody's around.
Yeah, right.
I don't really have to elaborate. We've all got secret sins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
David said, Lord, examine me. Search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Sometimes God's got to help you even in that category.
That's right.
Sometimes you just can't face up the secret sin.
That's right.
I need your prayers. And you need my prayers.
Right.
We're supposed to pray one for another.
That's right.
I want you to know there's a devil down here.
Yes.
He hates us.
Yes, he does.
There's a Lord that loves us.
Amen.
We're pulling in both
directions.
I'll tell you right now, ain't nothing funny about sin. I saw the effects of sin.
Yes.
Mmm. Oh my, we struggle in this area right here. It's why I said I'm going to be preaching probably for a while on standards.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
I'm not coming in here with no flip-flops and shorts on.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
Right. Amen.
Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, Patrick, he told his mother and his stepdad, know ye not, I must be about my Father's business. That tells me he's a businessman.
Amen.
Said, well, I've got a business suit on. I'm about my Father's business.
Amen.
I want people to know that I'm going to the house of God.
Yeah,
they want to know that I'm serious about my walk with God. And I'm going to come in here. I'm going to look like a preacher.
Amen. That's right.
God help these churches that have somehow, I don't know, they've just got so worldly I can't go in.
Yeah.
Turn my stomach.
Yeah.
I understand that verse where God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth and turn my stomach.
Right.
Sarah, he went through hell just so I could go to heaven. I want to look my best for him.
Amen.
I wish I did have some hair. I'd be a little more debonair, but that's all right. Hey, them kids said about Elisha the prophet, go up thy bald head. Ain't nothing wrong with them bald head. I just soon not have one of them Taylor Salvatas. Bald head, you know, we're going to keep all that. But I want to look my best.
That's right.
For my Lord.
Bless
Amen.
You, Lord.
I love Him. He loves me.
Yes, that's right.
The Bible said, herein is love.
Amen.
Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He gave us something in vitiation for our sins.
Right.
Boy, I never heard such a greater love. Greater love have no man than this. They lay down his life for his friends. I want you to know, he willingly went to the cross. Amen. He willingly took the beating I deserved. Amen.
Amen.
Secret sin.
Right.
If I called Sarah up back there, and I said, Sarah, I've seen you somewhere today, she'd shake right then. Where'd you see me at? You know, a prophet showed up sometime, they all shake and tremble, said, cometh thou peace be? He said, peace be.
Yeah.
Old Brother Eddie showed up at your house. You said everything all right? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes
us
uncomfortable.
Yes, it does.
When you got a secret sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now listen, the devil wants you to indulge in it.
Yeah, right.
But the Bible tells us to abstain from it.
That's right.
And that'd be my advice too. Hey, listen, Moses kind of rebuked two of the tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And he said this. He said, be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. Numbers 23:32. Sin has a way of finding its way out.
Yes, it does.
You know, you can dig a hole, bury it. They got some kind of cadaver dog come by now and they say, something here. They go dig it up. There's somebody been dead 20 years.
Yeah.
Somebody killed him, thought they had to put it away. David thought he had his sin concealed until the prophet showed up.
Yeah.
And Nathan gave him a little old parable about a rich man had all kind of sheep, and there's a poor man that only had one sheep, and a rich man had a visitor show up, and Nathan told David, he said that rich man took that little ewe lamb and he slew it to give to his guest. David got big and mad. He said, the man that's done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the man. Sin has a way of coming out.
That's right.
Best thing to do with sin is confess it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you don't start your prayer. I do.
Yeah.
When I start my prayer out, I start out like this. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Wash and cleanse me from my sin. Why do you do that? Because the Bible said if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. I don't know about y'all, but I want my prayers heard.
Bless you, Lord.
I want to get on the blood.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to God.
Yes, right.
And I want my prayer to be real.
Amen.
Not just throwing a bunch of words at me. And Brother Donnie was talking about Pharisees and Sadducees on the way up here.
Yeah.
Jesus said about them, for the pretense, they make long prayers. You don't have to have no long prayer.
No.
You can go, Brother Ed, you can just say, Lord, I just want to tell you I love you. That's good enough.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
You can do like Lucy, Lord, I love you this much. I mean, you know, Jesus said out of the mouth of babes a perfected praise. Children, they're better off loved, hugged, kissed, and watched.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
They'll fascinate you just watching them.
Right.
Just when they're entertaining themselves.
Yeah.
You wish you had that on tape.
Amen.
They're so innocent.
Bless.
They're so real.
Bless.
I love children. It's probably my weakness. I love children.
Amen.
I do. I wish we had a church full of children.
Yeah.
Call it Eddie's daycare. I don't know. But I love children. I love children.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll make every exception I can for a child.
Yeah. Amen.
Because they're so tenderhearted.
Right.
They're so innocent.
Yes.
They just don't know what we've done all. We've done all. Forgot more than they'll ever know, seem like. But we learned all what we learned the hard way. Yeah, and they're going to have to learn it too.
Yeah.
But anyway, those secret sins. No one knows about them, but they're there. No one sees them, but they're there. No one tells on us, but they're there. And they're like a snake ready to bite. And Proverbs talks about in Proverbs 23 verse 32, like a serpent that biteth and like an adder that stingeth. I'm just telling you, there ain't nothing good about sin. Ain't nothing good about secret sins. Ain't nothing good about innocent sins.
Amen.
Ain't nothing good about presumptuous sins. You know, I'm going to read this because, you know, even myself, I need to be careful here myself. I know all things are lawful for me. I know that.
Yeah.
I know all things are expedient.
Right.
But some things I need to be careful that I don't use my law of liberty.
Amen.
In such a way that it's a stumbling block for someone else.
That's right.
Just take for instance, I like shrimp. And Eric thought it was wrong to eat shrimp. And he had convictions about eating shrimp. And I'm eating shrimp in front of him. And he said, I thought Eddie was right with God. I'm just using that for instance. He probably likes shrimp too.
Oh, I love it.
Amen.
I've actually been rebuked over shellfish. I took them to Colossians and showed them that all things were lawful for me to eat.
Right.
And I got freedom to eat what I want as much as I want.
Right.
Other than paying the price for it, I'm okay. You know what I mean? I can eat pork. I love pork. Hey, I can eat bacon. I can eat tenderloin pork chops. I can eat shoulder. I can eat it all because of Jesus. I want you to know I have been completely forgiven. All the ordinances that were written about me, he nailed to the cross. Thank God he was a carpenter. I believe he put it in there pretty good. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to read this about sin because there is a warning in there
that even applies to us.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven, don't get me wrong.
That's right.
But a sin might get me there a little quicker.
Yes, it would.
Paul talked to the church in Rome in Galatians chapter 6. I want to read verse 1 and verse 2. Paul said, what shall we say then?
Yeah.
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Yeah.
He said, God forbid.
Right.
This is the key part here.
Yeah.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There are consequences of sin. I'm still going to heaven.
Right.
Just going to get there a whole lot quicker.
Right.
Now I'm going to make my point in verses 12 through verse 16. So let's read this together. Let not sin,
that's right,
therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. There's a lot of pleasure in sin.
Yeah.
And it does. I just watched that movie about Samson and Delilah. And I wept. Because I saw a man that loved God. And I saw him being enticed. But it wasn't been long. She had him on the tip of her finger.
Right.
But I saw him resisting. And you know what? She prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
She was bought and paid for. They was going to give her so many pieces of silver. It was all over her mind.
Yeah.
But she had him wrapped around her finger. And when he confessed where his real power came from, he said, I broke about every vow that God has given me to keep, except this one. He said, I've never cut my locks of my hair off because I've been a Nazarite from my youth. And when he said those words, she didn't take her no time. She gave him one of them barber devil shop butt haircuts. And you know, his strength left from him. But how true that is in your life and mine. Don't let the lust thereof, don't let it yield you to where you obey the lust. It says, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Amen.
I'm going to read some more here. My nose run like a sugar tree. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, it don't have no dominion over me, but I can't give place to it.
That's right.
He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You ought to shout right there.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Under the law, they take that and stone you. Under grace, that's between you and God.
That's right.
And it said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. When I saw that tractor on my way to church this morning, that seed box behind it, he's going to go out there and he's going to plant his corn. There wasn't no bolt of lightning falling on it. The boy back, when it wasn't under grace, but under law, he wouldn't have made it across the field.
Right.
Thank God for grace. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I found grace. Donnie sung Amazing Grace, and it is amazing.
Yes. Amen.
He said, we're not under the law, thank God. I couldn't keep it. No one can. But under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Here's the key verse in what I've just read here. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Now here's the bottom line. Whether of sin unto death,
amen,
or obedience unto righteousness, but thanks be to God that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Don't let sin get you in its clutches.
Right.
Don't let it take your life from you. Don't let it lay claim to the days that God has allowed you or allotted you. Don't let it take you. Don't let it rob you.
That's right.
The cure of sin is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. And You know, we just need to take our sins to Jesus, confess them to Him, and look at me real good.
Amen.
To Him alone.
Right.
Don't tell Eddie.
Amen.
Don't tell whoever. Go to Jesus and say, like David said in Psalms 51,
yes.
Lord, against thee and thee only have sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be just and justified when thou judges. Take them straight to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't put them on Facebook.
That's right.
Right.
Go straight to Jesus.
Right.
That's right.
He's the only one I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That loves you enough to forgive you and bless you.
Amen.
To say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, my children, they mess up every now and then, quite a bit. But when they tell me they're sorry, that changes everything.
Yes. That's right.
I'm no longer mad. Hey, I'm ready to do whatever I can to help. That's kind of the way it is with God.
Right.
Oh, I like going a little further. I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to be done. Paul mentioned in the book of Titus, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be reasonable. God's reasonable.
Yes, He is.
And our reasonable service is we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God.
Yes.
Set the standard. You know, we don't have no excuse for not setting the standard. And I know we all look for one, but we don't need to.
No, we don't.
You know, we had a cartoon one time called Dudley Do Right. And it may have been funny, but that's what we need to do. We need to do right.
That's right.
We need to look for opportunity to show people we're doing right.
Yeah.
When temptation comes, look, when it comes, don't look this way, that way, and get it. Look at here and cover it up.
Right.
So nobody else will be tempted.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I said, I'm going to be preaching for a while about standards.
Yes.
I'm concerned about the standards that are slipping into churches.
Yes.
I'm concerned about the standards that are going on in our schools, our children being taught things that ain't right. I'm concerned about things going on in our country.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, we got a gracious God.
Yes.
He will abundantly pardon. Hey, He'll meet you more than halfway. He'll run all the distance between you and Him. If you say, I'm sorry, He'll be right there.
Yes,
take the sin, take it to Him, get it on the blood, get rid of it, get it out of sight. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the liberty, Lord, we had preaching. I had no idea I was going to say all what I said. Thank You, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, get honor and glory always in this church, Lord. It might be little in size or little in stature, but may it be big, Lord, I pray.
Yeah.
And blessings to You, and being real to You, and being serious, Lord, about what we do for You. I pray You'll help us in that category, Lord. Send the ones, Father, that are needed here. Lord, don't send us, Lord, a troublemaker. I pray, Lord, if You do, I pray You'll give us the wisdom, Lord, to help them, to be able, Lord, to get them past that, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, as children of God, Lord, to honor You with all of our substance.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And Sister Sharon, Brother Donnie, just one verse of invitation to him. If you don't do, brother, just as I am, anything. Just take one verse there. Sharon, a hippie.